As Jonathan Keller was mentioning, one of the people that he works with in California to advance legislation to protect parents' rights is Attorney Aaron Friday, who is perhaps, at least in my opinion, one of the strongest advocates we have as parents for the rights that we should be acknowledged, but in California they are being stripped away, and so Aaron has done a wonderful job of advancing our cause, and she's here today to share a bit of her story about how she got into this fight and how you and I can be involved with it. So if you would please, let's welcome Aaron Friday.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for staying for a long program to hear me speak and hear the rest of the speakers. Thank you so much for letting me speak. So I'm going to just start with a story about last night. Last night around 6 o'clock, I got a phone call from a colleague of mine with basically an alert that there's a young man in San Francisco in crisis. And he was deciding last night whether he was going to take his life or not. He was transitioned. He removed all of his male body parts. He did this while he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and when he was addicted to heroin. And the doctors still did this to him, knowing this. So this isn't just about safeguarding children. It's about safeguarding the vulnerable human beings that walk this earth, those who are struggling with other issues. And this is a normal phone call I get now. I get them from the detransitioners. I get them from the parents who are in such excruciating pain because they're watching their children get captured by an ideology that the rest of the world is cheering on. They're watching their child die by 1,000 cuts right in front of their eyes. And so we have to do something. And I'm going to talk about what we're going to do. Because each of us has a superpower. Each of us has the ability to change what is happening in our world. And each of us must. So I entered into this vortex of what I call the gender cult when my daughter was in seventh grade. 11. She had her dose of sex ed curriculum at her public school. And unbeknownst to me, she had a whole hour about gender, how one could be born in the wrong body. I believe they played a film about Jazz Jennings. And I was an on-it parent. I volunteered at that school. I knew all those teachers by name. Heck, I had drinks with them. I never would have guessed in a million years that they would be teaching this garbage to our kids. But they were. And my daughter and her friends came home from the dose of transgenderism, and all of them sat outside in my backyard and said that they were something on the LGBTQ alphabet. Every single one of them. 100%. They were 11. They picked polyamorous, pansexual, lesbian. All terminology that they actually should know. Pansexual? You are sexually attracted to everyone. You're 11. So this was the opening. This is when I started to wonder what was being taught at school. I went to the parenting class. Two gentlemen stood up there and said, if you're not G.I. Joe or Barbie, you're somewhere on the spectrum. So me being the loudmouth that I am, my hand shoots up. Oh, so we're all trans? Silence. The whole parent class was all about labels. I was given a sheet. I wish I had kept it. In hindsight, I should have, with all these different genders anyone can be. I mean, just made up words. And let's talk about made up words for a second. Who here heard of a transgender kid 10 years ago? Anyone? No one? One? How about now? You've heard the term transgender kid? You know one? Yeah, everyone hears it all the time. This is a made-up term. And I'm going to explain what the real term transgender kid means. It means a child who was told that they were not perfect. It means a child who was told that they were born wrong. Everything is wrong about them. Not just their genitalia. The way they move, the way they talk, the size of their feet, the hair on their arms, the noises they make, their voices. Everything is wrong with them. That is a transgender child, where the public is saying, you, child, are wrong. Everything. Seventh grade, my daughter, the seed is planted. Now she thinks you can hop sex. If you don't like what you were born as, just switch it up. It's growing inside her belly. Germinating. Now they're teaching this to our kids in TK. That's to four-year-olds. They're planting that seed in their belly so that when that child is distressed, that seed germinates and creates the transgender child, the child who has so much self-loathing that they hate everything about themselves. Pandemic happens. School is shut down. Lonely. My daughter lives on her phone, on a computer, in a room with no one. The plant germinated. It grew. She was lonely and sad, depressed. Started wearing dark clothes. Started covering up. It was the pandemic. I mean, who wasn't wearing sweatpants? We were all wearing sweatpants all the time. I didn't think much of it. Until she started at her public school, and I'm down the hall, and I hear them use a male name for her. Well, who the heck is that? I march down there, and I hear that the whole school is calling her a male name, using male pronouns. I pick up the phone, and I call the school, and I ask them, why are they using a different name? We want to be a safe space for your child. Safe, I said. Pray tell, what does that mean? They couldn't explain it to me. I said, well, she's right down the hall. She's never stepped foot in your school. Because this was high school. She was a freshman. They've never seen her. I said, tell me anything about my kid. Is she fat? What color is her hair? What's her favorite ice cream? Because I gave her my body first, right? Second, I gave her a name. And these people who didn't know her took her name. That's what they did. They knew nothing about my child. I said, if you're safe, am I unsafe? Apparently I was. Child Protective Services showed up at my house, followed by the police. Now, luckily, I'm an attorney, so I talked my way out of it. But I have to be honest, at that point in time, I was so naive, I actually thought they were coming to help me. Because I thought, who's going to believe that my girly girl, or any girl, is actually a boy? This is absurd. Who's going to believe this? Well, they believe it. So, That's when I got hit with the whole transgenderism and learned that I'm a bigot, I'm hateful, I'm not deserving of my child. And that's when my daughter told me, "We all kill ourselves, Mom. Trans kids kill themselves, so I'm not going to be around for very long." Because this is what they're telling these kids. First, to be ashamed of your perfect, natural body. And then, by the way, you're going to kill yourself. Cruelty. And this is the movement of love? No, this is a movement of hate and horror. Every doctor I called for help told me to transition my child. Every single one. Even the one who knew my daughter since she was two. She looked at me with sad eyes, crossed out her real name, and wrote the male name in the chart. Even she, who knew my daughter since she was two, saw her. So when I hear, you know, about Chloe's parents, I understand the amount of pressure that they placed on me to transition my child was immense. Dead daughter, live son. Child Protective Services at your door, police at your door. I understand why parents feel they have no choice. It's a hard journey to swim against the doctors, the government, the teachers, heck, even friends. I was really lucky. My family did not abandon me. I come from a large family, and they were all supportive. So very blessed to have that. And I did have some good friends that stuck around. But for a year and a half, my family was destroyed. We had to rebuild our family and my daughter's understanding of reality. Because I was parenting against the internet. We are the first generation to parent against the internet. And as great as a parent as you think you are, and I was pretty darn on it, the internet is stronger. There's millions of people out there pushing this stuff towards our kids. Like with Chloe, pornography played a role. The 15% of all 10-year-olds have been exposed to porn. 10. And I don't know who was talking about what the porn is. It's not the porn I grew up with, which was like Playboy. I mean, this is something that is so disturbing. And you have young girls being exposed to this. Of course they want to flee being a woman. Who would want that to happen to them, what they see in pornography? Once a child also puts that they are transgender on any of their social media, it's a beacon for the pedophiles to flock after this kid. They find them. FTM, female to male, that means that girl is disassociating with her body. That means I can get to her. That means I can ask her to send pictures of her breasts because she's not going to have them, right? She's going to remove them. This is the trickery. They do this on both ends. They do it with the boys and they do it with the girls. So porn is a huge component of the transgender movement. Fetish, pedophilia, money. All these things working in concert. That's why it's so hard to destroy this transgender movement. Because it's not one cult leader, it's many. You have the doctors making gobs and gobs of money off of this. each gender-confused child is worth about $1 million to the medical complex. And they get them going in and get them going out. As you heard with Chloe, they don't even know what to do with these kids once they detransition. They have no clue. And they don't care. They don't care because it's a dollar sign. In 2007, there was one gender clinic in the whole of United States. Now there's 300 because it makes money. You can invest in gender harms. You can make money off of mentally unwell kids and mentally unwell adults. Profit. Join an ESG fund. You're actually making money off of this movement. You can be an angel investor in the online purveyors of cross-sex hormones. And when they say they're not coming after our kids, that's just a lie. One of the things I like to do for fun is to pretend I'm a kid and join these groups and see what I can get away with. So I joined Plume, which is an online seller of cross-sex hormones. And I said I was 16, and how could I get them? And they explained the process, which is my ID doesn't have to match up to my mailing address. It comes in a, you know, nondescript box, and I can have it sent anywhere. What 16-year-old wouldn't figure out how to get testosterone with that kind of framework? Any kid could get it, right? They sent me newsletters. One of the newsletters said, great news, things you'd like to know. If you run away to New York City and you're under 18, you can start T, euphemism for testosterone. Think about that for a second. If you run away, you can go to New York City and get testosterone. What happens to that 16-year-old when they get to New York City? Trafficked, of course. So this is the whole tie-in. This isn't, you know, just about kids and a new identity. This is about feeding a movement of debauchery and harm. Now, we talked about AB 665, that bill. That bill will permit 12-year-olds not to come home from school, right? With no claim of abuse on the parents. Where do those kids go? Where do they go? Somewhere safe? No, they go to a group home, an unlocked group home. Who hangs out at those group homes but drug dealers and traffickers? This is the pathway to take our kids and to traffic them. How does mom and dad get that child back once that child decides to opt out of the family? I don't know. I'm a lawyer and I don't know. Well, what I do know is that Child Protective Services is already going to give that parent a black mark. Why would a loving, you know, if you have a loving relationship, why would your child run away? Must be something wrong with mom and dad. So those parents are going to have to fight to get that child back. And in the interim, that child will go into a group home, which, by the way, they're building on our tax dollars. Jonathan was wrong. This bill doesn't get enacted. It's not effective for another extra year. Do you know why? Because they haven't built the homes yet. They're building that. Because they got to house them. This is what they're doing to our kids. And I'll admit this. I was happy before all this came in my life. I didn't read one bill. You know, I worked, made dinner, hung out with my kids, watched a little TV, played a little tennis, and went to bed. No idea that any of this has been going on. This has been going on since 1999 in the state of California, and probably before, and we've all been asleep. The pandemic was helpful in that way, because parents were able to see what was actually going on. So now we have to, each of us needs to join together and fight this. Because here's the silver lining on this. It's 80%, 90% of Californians are against this. We have polling that 75% of all Californians, and that's the liberals too, are against transgender medicine on kids. That's a really good number. We just need to get loud. We need to go on the offensive. We did that for the first time this year. I'm tired of fighting bills. I want them to fight my bills. It's way more fun to be on the offensive. And we went on the offensive, and thank you, Family Council, because they helped me with this. Because here's the thing, you can probably hear in my voice, I get a little angry. I got really, really angry when they came to destroy my family. And so I wrote, I don't know, 6, 7 bills, not knowing what I was doing. And 2 of them got picked up. One is an anti-porn bill. Age verification, guys, just that easy. You go onto Pornhub and ding, 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 you've got to put in your age. They do this for alcohol. They do this for buying marijuana. They do this for even, I think, VRBO. They age check. But for porn, no. Privacy. Well, we're going to have a bill in 2024 that is going to require age verification. So that's where you guys all come in. You don't have to drive to Sacramento with me, although I'd love the company. It's really great when you're there in person, even, you know, you get 1 minute, not even, you get to say your name and say, I oppose this bill or I support this bill. But it matters because they have to sit there and watch the line of people come in. And it matters. It really matters. For the first time, we stopped a bad bill this year. Because hundreds of people showed up. Gavin Newsom capitulated because we got loud. And it wasn't just the right that got loud, it was the left that got loud. So we can do this. So there's going to be an age verification bill, an anti-porn bill. We can call it that. And then there's a parent notification bill that we tried to push through last year. It died before there was a hearing. It's actually not dead. It's just kind of sitting there. But that's just to tell parents if their kids are gender questioning at school. Pretty simple. Just notify the parents. Because I'll tell you what, once the parents get involved, if they're parents like me, we can pull our kids out. It's hard, but it can be done. But if this secret keeps going on and it's going on for years, you can't. It's much harder to pull your kid out. And much harder until they harm themselves. So the sooner a parent is notified, the more likely the child is to come out of the cult. So we've got powers. They are actually afraid of us. And I know this because every time my little groups, along with other groups, set a conference, a news conference, Gavin Newsom set one too. And that's when we knew he's paying attention to us. So now it's our moment. Let's get loud. Really, really loud. Sometimes it's just a phone call. Because here's what they do in Sacramento. If you oppose a bill, and you can call up and say, I oppose AB 665. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to explain why you don't like the bill. They just put a little check mark. And if everybody's calling, they get really angry, and it's really fun. You again? Yes, it's me again. Which bills do you oppose? AB 665. And they just have, it annoys them. It annoys them when we actually use the democratic process, which everyone should do. It's not a democracy if you don't do anything. So here's, I hope I'm allowed to say this. If I do, it's not the church's fault. But as you heard from Jonathan too, I'm a registered Democrat. My party abandoned me a long time ago. They are not listening to the Democrats that I know, the ones who are against this, and there are many. They just don't want you to know about it. They don't want the Democrats and Republicans hanging out together. Or independents. They want to silo us. They want to separate us and say that we have nothing in common. We have a lot in common. And that is our love of our children. And our belief in biology. So we've got to hold hands. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hold hands and they're going to hate it. Because they like us siloed. But neither side has been good on this. Neither side. This year was the first time there was an offensive bill offered. In 10 years. They've always played defense. You can't win a basketball game if all you do is play defense. So we're going bigger. We're going bigger this year. And we're forgetting all the political parties. Because they're failing us. We're going to go people. Ballot initiatives. Everyone hates those ballot initiatives. Nobody wants to read through them. You're going to read through them this year. We have 3 proposed ballot initiatives. They are get the boys out of the girls' bathrooms and changing rooms, out of the sports. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, it's absurd. No school secrets. Don't lie to parents about their children's gender struggles. Don't transition our kids behind our backs. So that's initiative 2. Initiative 3 is let's ban gender medicine on minors. There are 22 states with bans. Let's be the 23rd. Because here's what's so great about if California passes these, the rest of the country will follow. It's amazing that 22 states are safeguarding kids. But as Jonathan said, we're a trans sanctuary state. So a kid who can't get this in Tennessee can get on a bus, come to California, and get it here without mom and dad's permission. Another bill passed this year that says doctors in those other states where it's banned, if they get caught doing these monstrous surgeries, guess where they can come and hide? California. They can come and live in California. And their medical license is not in peril. The police will not help find those fugitive doctors, even if they have criminal claims against them in the other states. We will gladly take them and hide them in our state. So nothing ends in the United States unless it ends in California. We have to end it in California. And we have the ability to do it. Because of all of you, and the 75% who said that they would vote for these ballot initiatives if we can get them on. Getting them on the ballot is the tricky part. That requires a lot of money. It requires a lot of volunteers to collect signatures. It requires a lot of heart. But we can do it because our kids are worth it. Our grandkids are worth it. And women are worth it. Let's return reality back to California. I have some information about the initiatives. I also have some bags of information about really simple facts about trans ideology, about the side effects, the medical harms, what's happening in Europe. And I'm going to leave you with this really hopeful moment because we should be hopeful. I'm hopeful. In the 3 years that I've been fighting this, I've never been more hopeful. This is all over the news, and California is on the right side of the news right now because we're passing these parental notification policies. We're actually being watched as a leader in this. So I'm really hopeful. But I was in New York City a couple days ago, and I was with the world's experts in gender. And the doctors are finally coming around. And they're stopping this in Europe. Finland, Norway, France, it's all stopping. We're going full steam ahead in California, but not for long. Not for long, because we're going to stop this. The Europeans are now writing paper after paper saying this doesn't help any child. The Dutch model that started this has been ripped to shreds. This is all very, very good news. The Academy, the American Academy of Pediatrics, said that it will do a systematic review. Now, whether it does a valid one or not, but this is all good news. So we're moving in the right direction. We just need to tip it over. I need you all to rush the stage with me. Raise your hand if you're going to rush the stage with me, because I need you with me. Thank you.